studying. I had to slow down again, but I'm going to pick up. So this is my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures. I first learned this probably 35 years ago. And I may say it differently, look at it differently, but the truth is always there. And if you want to learn discernment, this is how to learn discernment, to master these six verses. Genesis chapter 3. I'll mention three things that Satan does. The first thing he does is he deceives the mind. He deceives the mind. It says, beginning in verse 1, that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The first thing he does is deceive the mind, and he does it three ways. First, he challenges the word of God. He said in the latter part of that verse, yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? Does God really mean what he said? The first thing he does is to cast doubt on God's word, and primarily to come back and challenge the character of God. Because God is a good God. God put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, listen, you need all these trees. They just one I don't want you to eat from. That sounds like a good life to me. That doesn't sound like a harsh life. And so that's the perspective. So in order for Satan to deceive, he must challenge what God said, because that's the basis of what we know about God. So that's the first thing he does. Then the second thing he said was, or the second thing that he said to her, the last part of that verse, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Second thing he does to deceive them is to confuse the commandment of God. Confusing. Because if you looked at it this way, God is good. God provides an abundance of things to enjoy, but only a limit to what he says don't do. But in order to challenge that and confuse that, he must confuse it. He must twist it around. And so rather than say to her, you can eat from all the trees in the garden but one, he said, you mean to tell me you can't eat of every tree in the garden? The implication is, well, God must be narrow-minded. He flipped it around. And rather than say the positive side of all that God can do, he flipped it around and said, you know, God must be pretty narrow and pretty close. And the scripture says what it says. I studied it for many years, and it's clear, but Satan comes and corrupts it, and we add to it, and we throw in these things, and oh, it's so narrow-minded. You Christians can't do anything. Folks, I'm doing a lot of Christians. I watched the national championship on Monday. I had fun. I stayed up to 12, 15 watching the national championship, pulling for Florida State. I had fun. God didn't say I couldn't do that. God says I do a whole lot of things and enjoy myself. He just limits me. He said 10 commandments. I just don't want you to do these 10 things and follow these things. But it doesn't list a million of them. But if you listen, Satan deceives people's mind. People think God's way and God's commandments are silly. Even some Christians do. They think they're silly. Oh, you old-fashioned. No, I'm not old-fashioned if it's not the Scripture. Now, there are some things we do, but I follow the Scripture. And so he corrupted it. He said, man, that God's so terrible. He won't even let me touch this thing. Boy, that's terrible. Now he's got her. He's tricked her. Now he goes to step two. In verses 4 and 5, he said, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, and your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's fooled her. He's tricked her. She's a little fuzzy on the commandment. She's taking it more narrowly than God intended. She's confused. Now he goes for the second hook. He destroys accountability. He first deceives the mind, then he destroys accountability. By that I mean simply this. Go ahead. Ain't nothing going to go wrong. You're not going to be accountable for it. Nothing bad's going to happen. You can go ahead and sneak and do that thing. No one's going to know. Nothing's going to happen. You're not accountable to God if you pick this fruit. against God's knowing good and evil. You know what he did? The second thing? He destroys accountability by one. Consequences removed and by secondly by telling the condition. Now listen very carefully. The conditions of your life will improve. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you will see the light, and you will be as gods, and you will know all good and evil. In other words, your life will improve if you do this. See, he destroys accountability because, one, the consequences are not going to occur. Secondly, the conditions of your life are actually going to improve. It's going to get better. You're going to have a wonderful life. The world promotes all kinds of things that are wrong, and after 50 years, they go, well, we just haven't done enough. Maybe it'll improve the life if you do such and such, if you live a certain way. Well, we've got to live this way because, after all, that's what everyone's doing, and I've heard it works out pretty good. My conditions of my life will be improved, and things will work right. This way of doing it God's way, and being pure, and being responsible, and controlling yourself, and waiting for God's perfect moment, and waiting for God to do the timing, and waiting for things that are right, and not wanting to do the wrong quickly. Oh, don't worry about that way. That way is oppressive. Your conditions in your life are going to improve. You're going to be like God. You're going to know it all. You're going to know everything. You're going to have a great life. You see what he did? He deceived her mind about the commandment. He got it all confusing. Secondly, he destroyed accountability to that commandment. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. And you're going to have a good life. Don't worry that way. Then he's got her on the second hook. He's got her. She's a little confused. And she goes, after all, I'm going to get something better out of eating this one. And now he does the third thing. He delights her senses to the fruit, to the sin. This is what he said. But the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I want you to back up and notice something. We don't know at what point this happened in the life of Adam and Eve, but this didn't happen on day one. They've been in the garden for a little while, and they've been eating all kinds of fruit. I like to think of the garden probably as being as big as Thomas County. So you'd have to get on your horse and buggy and go a ways to get to that tree. That's probably not exactly right. But big, I'm telling you, pretty bad. Come on, right, Adam, let's go eat this fruit. After, man, have you seen this over here? Man, this is great fruit over here. No, this is great. But he deceived her mind. He destroyed the accountability. And then he said, aha, but look at this. One tree. It is delightful. And he did three things. First, he said, this will be enjoyable. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, he said, God intended all the other trees to be good for food and enjoyable and wonderful. We had a rehearsal dinner, and we have food left over. 12 baskets full of food left over. And we had some cake somebody made, and I must confess, I'm going to stop it after the get going, but I got up last night and had me some good cake. And it was good, people. I enjoyed it when I ate it. And I had some Pepsi with it, too. It was good. In other words, he says, take this fruit, it will be enjoyable. You know why people sin? Because it's fun. It's fun for a season. But it's like a hook. It will eventually harm your life. And God's way requires patience and waiting and his timing. But he said, first of all, but your flesh will falter and fail. But he said, go ahead. It will be exciting. And then he said this. It is a tree to be desired to make one wise. The third thing he gets her to see is that her emptiness will be solved. And I see it this way. This tree is going to make you wise. And I see it this way. There will be no more emptiness. Not that there was, because they were innocent. But he does the same thing. He says, you're going to be wise. You're going to know it all. And then you'll have a full life. A full and wonderful life. And it won't be empty. Solomon said to Ecclesiastes, I tried a lot of it. I tried to find, where's the meaning of life? What's the point of it? So he said, I tried riches. I tried pleasures. I tried projects. I tried good works. I tried a lot of things, and when I come to the conclusion, it just goes, it's all empty and unsatisfying. Sin is like eating cotton candy. It tastes good, but, well, what happened to it? It's gone. You know, sin just doesn't satisfy. But what he said to her was, this will make you wise, and it'll satisfy you. You won't be empty. You'll have a full life. You'll enjoy yourself. And so now he's got her hooked. He has deceived her mind in thinking about the commandment. He's destroyed accountability if you pick, and now he's caused her to delight in it. Ah, this will be enjoyable. It'll be exciting. Your life will not be empty, and you will find fullness and joy in life. Sad to say, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. When you do it God's way, sometimes it has some tough times. Sometimes it needs saying no. But in the long run, it's a good life. Anthony sang yesterday at the wedding, God's been good. And I stood there and I watched. And then, so I didn't cry, but I almost cried right at the end. And I saw Jessica looking into Paul's eyes, and I saw him looking at her. And she was just as joyful as she could be. And you could tell, and I even told the parents that, I said, you can tell they really do love one another. They are crazy about one another. And they've done it the right way. They kept themselves pure. I know that for a fact. They kept themselves pure. They have waited. And God has rewarded. And God has blessed. And I sat there and I said, you know what, God? Your way is the best. You are good. It takes a little restraint. Your way is best, and God is good, and God is gracious. God is forgiving, God, for when we blow it. Hey, God wipes the slate clean, well, takes us right on, and we go right on. But God's way is always the best. It's good, and it's wonderful. So I want to encourage you today. How do you defeat deception? I think the first thing that I'll start with is, if you tell me something wrong with one of the commandments of God, my antenna will go up, oh, is that coming from God? Because my God's a good God. And if my God said, stand on my head, he intended something good for it, and he did not intend something bad for it. Now, if you come along and add a little bit or twist the commandment like a lot of people do, I ain't going to listen to that either. Because I've studied it, and I know pretty clear what he says, where it stands, where it is. Always starting with this fact, God is good, and when God gives commandments, they are joy. He just gave a few of them. Don't do it. And Satan comes along and twists it around, and you don't see all that God gives, and you just see the few things you can't do. And then he says, hey, try that. You know what the world does? The world laughs. They literally laugh at all the things that God has provided, and they make fun of it, and they promote the one thing that we're not supposed to do because they say that will create happiness. Well, look around you, folks. Has it created happiness in our society? I think not. Matter of fact, we're probably an unhappy society because Satan is a deceiver. If you learn this truth, let me tell you, it'll help your life and it will bless you. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the preciousness of it. Lord, help us to be discerning. You are a good God. And if you say I should have no other gods before you, you mean it. But you don't mean anything bad by it. You mean good. And if you say that I should not covet someone else's things, you don't mean evil. You don't mean that I can't have things. You just mean I'm to be satisfied with your provision for me and not pay attention to other people and what you've done for them because I don't know where they are. I'm just satisfied with what you've done for me. And if you say thou shalt not do this, you always mean good, never bad. And we exalt in it, Lord. We rejoice in it. I'm so glad there are boundaries. When we drive, we just can't drive anywhere we want to. I'm so glad there are boundaries when we go places. Thank you, Lord, for the boundaries that protect us and help us to enjoy your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.